Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Let's pray for Dave. Lord, we thank you for this man of God and who he is in you and who you are in him and his desire to stand for you and to burn about your goodness and your mercy and all the truth that you're unveiling during this time in his life and in our lives as a body of believers. Thank you for all that you do with him and use him. So use him this morning to impart truth to us that we would be able to receive it and move in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. 1989, I was approximately 14, 15-ish, and there was a conference my dad had pulled together. He was bishop of the Mennonite Church of Alberta, Montana, northern Montana, and my dad was spirit-filled. You know, you'd call him a closet charismatic, I guess, because he sure took a lot of resistance for his stance in God and wanting God to flow in the congregation. And he survived all kinds of things. Him and his dad split from the very conservative Mennonite church, which was very painful in the early 80s or late 70s. And then another group split from him because they said that they weren't charismatic enough. And my dad was constantly in tension of bringing people in that would minister the word, and then his uncles would find their ways into his office and just ream him out. I mean, it wasn't just like a casual thing. He took great vitriol. I mean, it was very, very personal, the things that he heard. But my dad had grace to follow through and to be loving in the midst of all of that. And so this particular conference, he had scheduled a speaker that was highly prophetic. Now, I don't know if you remember that in the late 80s, the prophetic really hadn't burst onto public scene yet. A lot of the prophetic from the platform or anything like that, it was non-existent during that time. It was the early 90s and when the prophetic really began to take off with guys like John Wimber and guys in Kansas City and so on and so forth. And so, but this particular man had a very keen prophetic gift. And he lined up, I don't know how many people were there, but he lined up the whole crowd. And he went almost all afternoon giving personal words. And they recorded it, of course. And I always remember a lady in our church played the piano the whole time. She couldn't hear what anybody was saying, but she said my mom told me she was playing by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when he'd get real intense in the prophetic, her piano playing would go real intense and then slow and quiet another time. So anyway, I had no idea what we were doing, but we were in this line to get a prophetic word. And I was terrified, you know. And I had no idea what was going to happen. And I saw all kinds of things taking place. And anyway, the man in front of me was our youth pastor at the time. And I really liked this guy, but in all honesty, he wasn't leading me in the things of the Lord. He would let us come over, stay overnight, watch probably bad movies all night, or we would rent Nintendo at the time, and we would do all those kind of things. And he was just kind of like that, just kind of this buddy guy. And I knew that he struggled with some things and found out later, just so you know the context, that he was deeply struggling with pornography at the time. And so, he was kind of getting offended easy at people and that kind of thing, and he didn't know his future with the church. And so anyway, he's right in front of me, and he stands up, and the prophetic guy says this right off the top. He gets his name, and he says, I'm going to be firm with you, brother. And then he proceeds to grab his shirt like this, and he goes, "Rise up, man of God!" And he starts pounding his chest like this, shaking him. And I'm standing right behind him, and I'm more terrified now. But he said, "Rise up! Stand up in the grace of God! You are a mighty man of God!" And he's yelling and screaming, and the whole place is going, what is going on? Is this guy lost his marbles? What happened? And then he calmed down at the end, and he says, this word, brother, will produce life in you. And nobody had any idea how he was living in his private life. And I want to tell you that youth pastor was highly offended by that because he had a heart issue. And when he was pounding his chest, he was terrified, and then he was embarrassed, and he felt like he was shamed. And he had all things going on with that, and he left offended. It wasn't a pleasant thing for him. Except for about 3 months later, suddenly this word turned inside of him, and he responded to it. And suddenly he gave his whole life to God. Now, by that time, the church had let him go, and he moved to Alaska. And he was working on some oil rigs up there. I remember hearing that he was in the hospital for weeks because he had frozen his feet. He went out on the rigs in terrible, like minus 40 Celsius weather, and with his sneakers. He did, he was just kind of that kind of guy. He wasn't married or anything like that. And then about a year later, he came back into town, and I'd never seen somebody so in tune with the Holy Spirit, walking and hearing the voice of God, and his whole life was vastly different. He was so Jesus focused, and I didn't know what to do with him. Because, I was focused on at the time it was a floor hockey tournament, and I was focused on, competition and all that. And he was saying, Dave, God sent me back here. I wanted you to know what happened to me. He said that he wanted you guys to see what God has done inside of me. And he attributed to this prophetic word. Now, why am I telling you that story? When Deb came up and gave her prophetic word, I feel the same thing. This is not a passive time. I heard the Lord say back there in worship, he says, stand up, body of Christ. Stand up in who you're called to be. Stand up. It is not time anymore to walk in a place of complacency or feeling unworthy of God's grace and his love. God is asking us. He's saying, I will not force you, son or daughter, but I want you to come close to my heart. I want you to walk into me. Stand up! I heard the Lord say last night, in America, we have a hard time telling people to give up their half an hour TV shows to seek God. And then I felt like the Lord say, and while at the same time overseas, somebody is being persecuted and murdered for their faith. And we have a tough time declaring from the pulpit to tell people to seek God and give up their entertainment. And God says, I've given you grace. I've poured it out upon you. Whether you think you're worthy or not, or too far away or too close, whatever. He says, come to me. Stand up. Shake these things off. Do you desire to walk in truth? If you desire to walk in truth, you're going to get resistance from the enemy. This is not a time to be passive. It's not a time to hold things against other people. It's not a time to think about what somebody else is thinking anymore. It's time to stand up in his grace. If you've been hurt by ministry or church or leaders or family, it's time to give it and lay it at the cross and walk forward in his grace. If our hearts are dull, we're in trouble right now. And sometimes we walk around and we actually think that we can just turn our heart when the time comes. You know what? I've sat in a counseling arena with a lot of people that have been devastated by tragedy. Not just with voice, all around this county. I don't know how they end up in my office. I don't ask for it. I honestly don't, because I can't figure, for me it's hard when you can't answer questions and you feel for people and you have compassion for them and you want God to touch them and then bring them forward. But I feel honored that God would use me in that way at the same time, but it's hard. And often with some people, their whole faith is shattered by something they just went through. They can't just turn their heart and get alive in God in 1 minute. And we have the arrogance to think that at some level we can stand up, and when the time comes, when we finally see the world evil system, we'll just turn our hearts and be alive in God. That's not how Jesus taught. He said, you be very wary of your heart. Matthew 13, Jesus said something very distinct about how your heart responds to God. He explained it in detail. And he said, I know what you think of other people, how you want to think the best of them. You want to think that everybody's walking with God. You want to think that everybody's good with God. And Jesus said something a little different in the parable of the sower. He said, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up because they have no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying, this is very important, disciples. But he was preaching it from the previous chapter. He was on a boat preaching it to an entire multitude. And he's saying, if you have ears, I want you to hear what I'm saying right now. What is he saying? And the disciples come after he preaches this, and he says to them, why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you doing this? Why are you speaking to them this way? And he said, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, listen to this very carefully, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. And otherwise they would not see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return. And listen to this, I would heal them. Jesus is saying, I want people. He's not saying, hey, I'm not showing truth to somebody. I'm leaving everybody out. No, he's living truth right there. He's demonstrating who God is. He's demonstrating the love of God. This isn't about whether God loves us or not. This has nothing to do with his love. You can't earn that. This is not legalism in the sense that we think it is. We're so shy right now to preach anything, to tell people what to do, because it's legalistic, and we want to come out of that trash, which we do. But there's a great simple thing that we have to understand. If you're doing anything for God to earn your righteousness, or anything in your own power, or you're trying to earn love from God or acceptance from God, that's legalism and religion. Because you already have all those things. You have his favor, you have his love, you have his acceptance. He's already demonstrated that at the cross in the Son, his Son Jesus. And he said, I've poured my grace out freely upon you. So if you are trying to earn from God and the heart area is right there, that's legalism. But the body of Christ has grouped everything together into this. And so when you tell people to give effort in seeking God, they say, no, that's legalism. No, we're not giving effort to earn anything from God in the way he feels about you. What you're doing in giving effort is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know the perfect and good will of God. One of the keys is don't be conformed to this world. That means that we have to be aware of what it means to be conformed to this world. And we have to topple that thing. Honestly, this is where the body of Christ is at. We're in a valley of decision. It is not legalism to get effort into seeking God. Why? Because you already have his love. What do you think happens when you start going like this and moving into the heart of God and saying, I'm going to cancel that show that's taking time for me and God. I'm going to cancel this, and I'm going to try to overcome my besetting sin like pornography or something that's hidden. What do you think that does to God? He says, I'm going to heal you. It's his healing flow that is right there for you at all times, at any times. You honestly think that if you walk with God, that everything's just going to come together and go smooth for you? No. You have an ancient enemy that knows every deceptive trigger in your mind. And you know what? God lets him touch him. Why? So that your mind is renewed, so that you grow in the armor of God that Paul said in Ephesians 6. Every hole you have will be touched in this season. And it's the humble that recognize it and see it and understand. This is, I'm sorry guys, I feel such a weighty something today. Then he says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what's been sown in the heart. These are people that sit under teaching and they go away and they say, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Well, here's the thing that Jesus just said. The enemy is very intent towards you. He wants to steal everything that he tries to put in, the word of God tries to put in your heart. You know where he can't steal from you? Is when you decide to hang out with God on your own. He can steal from us all the time in public settings like this. There's so many reasons people come in here and hear the word and that. Some of it is to appease your consciousness so you don't feel so guilty next week and so on and so forth. Some of it is because so-and-so wants you, whatever. None of that stuff is so superficial and artificial. If somebody came in the door now and started shooting up the place, where is your faith? That's literally what I'm talking about right now. It's a bad example. I don't believe that's going to happen. But the point is where are we when things like this take place? Where are we? The you know, whether we like it or not, violence is going to rise in the earth. Revelation prophesies it. That's not to create fear. It's to stir you to become the mature, spotless bride, a person that walks in God with God in confidence, no matter what your circumstances. You want to become a faithful witness moving into this season? Then we have to put away some of our petty emotional things. And we have to go to God and lay out before Him on the floor and say, I am tired of myself. I'm tired of my flesh. God, would you give me divine revelation where my flesh is mixing up in the Spirit? The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides your soul and spirit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit is the demonic mix with your flesh that stirs us into all kinds of things. There are people that are drowning in the body of Christ in complete dullness because they have besetting sins, and they haven't done a thing about them. People are saying, God will deal, or I'll deal with this when the time comes. Well, what people don't realize with besetting sins over long term is that you're growing dull to God. You will never feel the pleasures of loving God if you have a part of your heart captured somewhere. And so people say, well, help me. What do I do? Get with God. This isn't hard. It really is not hard. It's going before the Lord and putting your passion. By, you know, if your computer is causing you to sin, Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, cut your hand off it if it causes you to sin. Now, he didn't mean that literally, but he's saying, do you know how serious this stuff is? Cut your hand off. Now, again, not literally. He's saying, it is better to enter into heaven with one hand than go to hell because that one hand, you could never deal with that sin. He's talking about a coming to maturity and putting your heart into dullness. That's what he's declaring there. Are we doing anything at a private level? Now think about this. The love of God is so available to us. Sometimes when you start preaching messages that people get condemned and, oh my goodness, I got to go find a grace message that makes me feel good about myself again. I'll tell you something. We are probably over and abundant on identity messages here in this ministry. It's purposeful. We want you to know your identity in Christ. But at the same time, Jesus said right here, the parable of the sower, he said, if we want to measure it, 25% people sit under any type of teaching and the word of God, the enemy snatches it on the way out. The enemy does. We're in a war. This is a war zone. This is intense on one level. Now here, I want you to all realize that my motivation is for you to find the joy of walking with God. That's what I'm teaching right now. So many are yearning for joy. I've been asking for the Lord right now in my life. I need joy. I need joy. I want to understand what joy unspeakable means. I want to understand what it means to dwell in your presence. I want to understand those things. And God goes, okay, son, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to put my thumb on something that's preventing you right here. Well, I don't want to give that up, God. I mean, that's giving me a little bit of joy right now. He goes, right here, son. You're asking for joy? I'm putting my thumb here. Well, I don't like that. And then we back off. God knows you better than you. Do you think he's a leader or not? Do you think he knows you? Do you think he knows what you need from him? But he won't take you by the collar and drag you into a room to seek him. That's what Jesus is saying here. People, some people never produce the word of God in their lives. They might get saved and born again, but they don't walk in the kingdom. When somebody challenges them on the very basics of the kingdom of God, they don't follow through. They, you know, just for example, this popped up. Like, for example, tithing. They, you know, people just let it go. They don't seek out what God says about it. They go, I know this guy believes that guy believes this, and this guy believes that, so I'm not going to do that because this guy believes that. That all of that is really unproductive when God says, I'm going to watch how you give to me here, and I will start blessing you with more provision. Or the other areas of life and functionality with our wealth and our family relationships. We think that God says to love our spouse unconditionally, we say. And we all go, yes, this is God. And then we go home and we demand things from our spouse. Well, you can't have it both ways. It doesn't work that way. So if you can't make your spouse do anything or your kids or anything like that, and you're trying to change them with the flesh, and you're grounding them in and you're hurting their hearts as you're trying to do it, go to God and ask God what's going on inside of you so that you can flow in love. I mean, it's a simple thing. Whenever you go to God, he doesn't go, wow, you are really screwing up. He goes, daughter, you're here again. Son, you're here again. I'm smiling at you. Why do we stay away from that? Why do we back off from when God puts his thumb on something in our lives? Why do we defend ourselves so vigorously when somebody tries to speak to us about ourselves? Why do we constantly get defensive and have to self-justify and say, you don't know me enough, when God might be saying, I'm going to give you truth through the most unlikely sources? Why do we exist in pride? Why don't we tear it down? I feel the need to apologize. Oh, man. So the first one, the one in whom the seed was sown in the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. This is so many people in the body of Christ. I'm not thinking of anybody here, but there's so many people in the body of Christ that fit this category. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, guys, not everybody is responding to me with the right heart posture. Not everybody is. He says, so many of my people, they know my love, but so many of my people are very passive in their approach to me and vigorously seeking me for any reason. So many of my people don't know. So many of my people are depending me to suddenly come to them and visit them and turn their heads and deliver them of their sin and all so on and so forth. And they don't lift a finger to do anything about it. So many of my people are waiting decades for me to show up, to do something, so to speak. And he says, I've done something. It's called the cross of Jesus Christ. If you don't know anything, in James chapter 1, it says you can ask for wisdom for any reason from God. But if you're double-minded about it, you won't receive anything from the Lord. So then we have to look at, are we double-minded? A couple weeks ago, I said the two horses that are pulling the same cart in different directions. One's the faith horse and one's the doubt horse. And as those two horses begin to pull, They're stalemated. Jesus, the body of Christ isn't suffering from a lack of faith. The body of Christ is suffering from doubt. Jesus said that. He says, if you ask me for anything in my will and don't doubt, I will give that to you. It's time for us to find the reality of God, of starving the doubt horse till that guy dies, so that we can move forward in the grace of God and move forward. The other word is on the one whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the word, and the worry of the word and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and becomes unfruitful. Now let's measure this. 25% get the word stolen upon leaving here today. 25% get excited and stirred up a little bit, but when they get into life and they're pressed at all, somebody says, "Are you a Christian?" No. You know, the minute that happens, they're gone. You know, if any type of scoffing or anything like that, they're done. Then there's others that actually plant the word and they grow it up over weeks and months. And suddenly, what did Jesus say very distinctly? Do we find this today? The worry of this life and the deceitfulness of riches come in and choke out your harvest, and you're unfruitful. Is that sound like anybody today? I'm not thinking of anybody in here. Jesus is saying, a quarter of my body is not receiving my word at all. It's being snatched away. A quarter of them are falling away upon being challenged in any way. Another quarter of them are worrying about life and money and everything, and their harvest is being taken from them. They're not even bearing fruit. Sometimes you find people like that. They go into various places and they complain and they talk. And unfortunately, they gossip and they blame the leaders and they blame others. They blame people, this and that and everything. You know what? Blaming won't get you anywhere in God, ever. I don't know why we do it. I don't know why we think that everybody's going to love us all the time, or we try to find a place where everybody's happy with us. It'll never happen. Jesus said, bless your enemies, because he said you're always going to have somebody that's going to oppose you in some way or another. It'll never happen where we find this perfect place in God where everything's flowing. And you know, even if you get a big breakthrough in life and God pushes you forward, if you haven't been busy with the Lord in a place of intimacy, you get a big breakthrough in life, there's a bigger bullseye on you. And if you don't have any intimacy with God, the enemy goes, oh, that's easier to hit. Boom! And it's over. And it's not over, but my point is that we get wounded over really little things. And the one in whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who bears the word and understand it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. In this season, Jesus said a metaphor. He said, if you abide in the vine, you will bear much fruit. What does abiding in the vine look like? You know the very basics of it is talking to God constantly. You know, some people call that, we call all things, but basically it's prayer. What did Jesus say for the end time generation at the end of the age? He said, how do you prepare? Watch and pray. You know what God is doing in this season? He's equipping us to go into great heights with him. I was so blown away by the prophetic team on Tuesday night and just everybody that was involved in that, because it was just a powerful service. I mean, I came in, God kept telling me, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go. And there was a lot of reasons for me not to go. But I pushed through and I came, and my whole atmosphere in here changed. God gave me something that night, very specific. And I could have easily said, it's too much. It's too much, I'm not going. You know, isn't that what life is like? When we actually have spiritual gatherings, you know, it's like, Bob and Deanna, what they've given their lives for so that we can gather here like this. You know, this isn't just a common, and this is my opinion, of course, this isn't just a common little ministry. Whether you can tell or not, we really want you guys to succeed in him. We are really focused on God's end time mandate of raising up prayer for the end of the age. We really have people in this room all week long crying out for Michiana, so that when great challenges come, that we will be blessed instead of washed away. There's been people praying in this room for 10 years.
Now, I want you to ask a question. Does God know who these people are? This is his government. He's asking his people to stand up. He's asking his people to overcome our emotional trivialities and our emotional baggage, so to speak, the things that we make decisions on, our judgments, or worrying about what the fear of man is. And he says, stand up in your heart. Come running to me. Now, the people go, what do I do? Go be with God. You know, try doing that with your... I'm not ever saying that watching a TV show is bad or anything like that. You all know your own situation. Whatever God is asking you to do, not watching a TV show one day and seek God. Walk around your basement with passion and begin to connect with God. Go into your closet and shut the door and turn off the light and put on worship music and lay before God for a while. See what he begins to do in your heart. I'm speaking this to myself. I mean, I'm just as weak as anybody. I'm at the front of this line. What is God asking us to do to prepare for this season ahead? Not only with great challenge in the world, and the world's going to get dark, but the season ahead for you to take off in the joy of the Lord, to take off in the pleasures of God. What is he going to highlight right now? And again, I just prayed about this, and this is what I came up with. He's going to raise you up as somebody that operates in the power of God, in the kingdom of God, in your own sphere of influence. What do you mean? God might ask you to step out in mire. You might see somebody in need, and you feel, maybe I should pray for them. Go pray for them. Step out. See what God does. He's going to start training people like that. Or you can say no. I say no 3 out of 5 times still. I'm still working through that reality. And then I'm asking God right now, why do I have this fear of disturbing people? You know, it's not the fear of man. You know, I can stand up here and shout on Sunday morning. But what is the fear? And I'm asking God about the fear. It's between me and him. I want to overcome that. He's going to make you and come to you and begin to increase your intercession in personal prayer. This is what he's going to highlight right now. He's going to make you an intercessor first. He's going to heighten the value in your perspective of one human soul. He's going to say, these are my beloved sitting next to you. Even if it's your wife, your daughters, your whoever it is. Ask God what he thinks of the people you live with. Say, can I have your eyes for them? It'll cause you to overcome. Well, what about the other people, the people that come in and we just don't pay attention to? God says, that one is mine, that one is mine. The value of one human soul is going to go to sky high. At the end of the age, God is going to absolutely confirm that. He's going to raise your level of watching. The plan of God in the end of the age. You know, this is another thing the voice has been called to call out and lay the foundation and just make people aware how to respond to God with his plan. Next weekend, Corey's coming. And, these aren't passive events. This is critical information right now. This is God's going to prepare us even 20 years in advance for things that he wants to do. But he wants us to have that foundation. So he's going to do that. Foundationally, what people say, what is God's will for my life? What is it really? Now, God has very specific plans in what you should do for him, okay? But what is his perfect will for you right now, wherever it's at, whatever it is? I always want you to bring this into your awareness. It's the first commandment. If God is highlighting anything, if you could sit before God and say, what does the body of Christ need? I believe the Holy Spirit would say the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, all my teaching, all the law and prophets were hung on this one commandment right here. He's saying this is the biggest of the biggest picture. And guess what? We don't have to wait for anybody else to begin to do that mandate before God. It's time to find God's dreams, and then he'll take care of your dreams. And then the last thing that he's raising up is, I forgot to say this 2 weeks ago, worship warriors. the body of Christ is going to grow, I believe, powerfully into this mandate of bringing worship. I mean, I love our worship team. I just have to say that. I've been to a lot of different churches over the last couple years for different reasons. And when I'm gone, I'm at home or in Canada or whatever it is. But worshiping God, I love our worship team because they're tender to the Lord. If God moves, we're going to move with God, you know, so on and so forth. But there's a lot of activity in the body of Christ where people are worshiping God, but their hearts are not engaged. The Father's looking for those worshipers that'll worship in spirit and in truth. That's what we're talking about today, is finding His truth. Michael, why don't you come on up? Jesus said to His disciples in John 14, I'll leave you with this. This is right before the cross. The disciples have walked through 3.5 years with Him of all kinds of things. And I know the disciples at a heart level are going, I cannot wait till this man, our leader, who we've given up our families for, we've left them, we've given up our, you know, anybody who had wives, their young man, we've given up their whole lifestyles, they've given up their careers, fishing, and they followed this man, and in their hearts they're going, I can't wait till he establishes his kingdom here. I can't wait till he walks into Jerusalem and gets rid of the Sanhedrin and takes down these pompous Pharisees. I can't wait till he does this kind of thing. And Jesus keeps telling them, I'm going to die. They have no idea the great plan of God and the mystery of God that's hiding underneath spiritually. And so Jesus isn't leaving his disciples there, but he starts having the instructions for them in John 14 through his prayer in John 17. And he says to them, this is the first thing he says to them. Peter in just John 13 at the end of it has just said, what do you mean, Lord, you're going to die? I'll die with you. You know, and Jesus says, Peter, you will deny me 3 times. You don't know what's in your heart yet. And then the next verse of John 14, 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, believe in God and believe also in me. Jesus said, watch and pray. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. If your heart is troubled, God doesn't want it to be. If you're troubled about anything going on in life right now, he doesn't want you to be. Because he is the God that loves you. He's the God that has a plan and purpose for you. The only reason we get so troubled about life and our situations is when we're not focused on the first commandment. And we try to bring a lot of stuff with us in our walk with God and we don't deal with it. And we try to pass over hidden sin. And we try to just move forward and go with my perspective. Or, you know, there's so many things that God has put into place. Fellowship with other believers. He's put into place so many things that will stem the tide against deception. But if we don't even know what His Word says about it, how can we walk in that? How can we walk forward in the grace of God if we don't know His Word about it? And Jesus ended His Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of His kingdom. And I want to just address this idea that everybody's okay in the grace of God. We're all seeking God 100% and all those kind of things. Jesus said that's not the reality. He warned and warned and warned against deception. Jesus said, after speaking the whole Sermon on the Mount, He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was that fall. Both men spent a long time building houses. Both of the men, so to speak, were in the context of the church in ministry. It's not because God doesn't love one of them or the other of them. It's how they responded to God at a heart level. You don't ever lose His love. You don't ever lose His acceptance of you. You don't lose anything like that ever. We're not talking about things like that. We're talking about responding to Him. so that it doesn't take crisis to turn our hearts. And even then, when crisis comes for so many people, in my experience in counseling, people turn the other way. They turn away from God. Anybody that's been through tragedy at any level, they will tell you how easy it would be for them to turn away, to lose their families, to lose the people they love because of how difficult it was to walk through something like that. And if you do walk through realities like that, you are strengthened and God uses it for your good, he said in Romans. This is what God wants us to be aware of. What is really in here? What is really in here? Are we existing in pride and we don't even know it? Are we casually sitting back and just saying, I know so much more than the next guy? Are we judging one another? I don't know what anybody's in. Are we in hidden sin? Have we been in hidden sin so long that we just have stopped asking for help and we think that we're going to just one day shut the switch off? That's not how it works, beloved. You're the beloved of God. You have his love. It's time for us to take steps. You know what? Do something drastic. Take the laptop. Destroy it. Snap it in half. If that's what it takes for you to quit looking. You know, God will meet you there. He has delivered us. He's made every provision for us to be delivered from everything that we could possibly go through. It is not God's will for us to struggle around in a cesspool. He's saying, I want you to have this joy unspeakable, but you're going to have to focus on the first commandment. You're going to have to give me your whole heart. If God is touching anybody today, in areas of your heart, no matter what it is, he's just calling you into deeper relationship, or he wants you to give something up, I just encourage you right now, just start coming up right now. Just pour out your heart to God. Stand before him. Don't worry about what anybody thinks or whatever it is. Just give yourself back to God and say, it's time for me to connect with my Jesus, and it's time for me to find my way with God. It's time for me to stand up and begin to delete things in my life that are hindering me. You know, when Deb came up and gave her prophetic word, I was stunned. I shouldn't be. But that's exactly what I was feeling, is what she said. These are things we need to listen to in God. It takes a humble heart to begin to listen no matter what's happening and begin to respond to God and come to him. It's time for us to run back to God like the prodigal son. No matter what it is, if it's some small or big, whatever it is. Father, we just come before you today. Why don't you just stand up right now? We stand before you today in the name of Jesus, and we ask God, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move in power right now. You would blow through this room. That you would raise the awareness of your holy word in our lives. Lord, that we would be baptized in the power of God today. That we would operate in a place of your presence. Lord, I pray for those giving things up to you. I pray that they would just find that place of releasing everything to you. Lord, I declare healing in our bodies today in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just have your way. I'm just going to release all the ministry teams. Just come minister as you see fit. And I'm just going to let the worship team take it out from here. If you need to go and be dismissed, just feel free to do that right now.
I sing you. I dance with you, I cry before you, here in this place, I give my all, just to be whole, just to be near, here in this place, just you and me. Everything's so clear. Now I am free. Just you and me. Don't care who sees. Don't care who hears. Oh, how I love this place of worship. This place with you.
Oh, how I love 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 this place where I am free to dance with you, free to sing to you, free to hear from you. When I'm with you, I am free to dance with you, free to sing to you, free to hear from you. When bow down, free to cry out. When I'm with you, I am free to worship, free to bow down, free to cry out. When I'm with you, I am free to worship, yes, free.